for her to feel unsafe, I don't know the right questions to ask, or if I ask the right questions, I feel like I'm not being heard. I don't think they're going to take care of me. The statistics are so overwhelming, right? I need help. Hi guys, it's your girl Mira Harden here, and welcome to another episode of Brown Girl Trending. Because it's October, I wanted to talk about the biggest thing in the United States right now, which is of course, there's so many things going on, but something that's always there every October is the push towards breast cancer awareness, early detection, also just all cancers at this point. I've seen fundraisers and walks where it's not just about breast cancer, it's about all cancers, and it's being grouped in. There's a lot of organizations that you probably know, the NFL, and basically anyone who's a corporate thing wants to donate and they want to wear pink and they want to show their support and bring awareness to this. Now, of course, October is also domestic violence awareness and a couple other things. But for this purpose, I'm talking about early detection because I think for my BIPOC woman out there, I think it's important to prioritize our health and early detection and beyond that. And there is something to be said about medical biases and disparities that exist. Now, if you've been on TikTok, Facebook, or any kind of social media, you might have heard of Joel Bevel. He's the medical mythbuster, and I follow him religiously. And let me tell you, I am married to a doctor. I have had many a conversations with him about the biases against Latin women, Black women, brown women, white women, and how they're all different. And my husband and his friends who are of different origin, they all say different things. They're like, we don't have biases. No, we don't do that. We just treat what we're supposed to treat. And I always think unconscious bias, because in the medical books, they do tell you things like Black women have a higher pain tolerance. Many years ago in the 1800s, there was a gynecologist. The gynecologist, his name is James Marion Sims. He conducted famous, infamous experiments on hundreds and hundreds of slaves using physical force. He did not give them any sort of pain relief while he cut into them. He, of course, went on to discover and do surgeries that we use today and that we've expanded on. And he's considered the father of gynecology because of these experiments that he did. Why slaves? Because they could handle the pain better than a white woman who would cry and scream and whatever, and he'd have to let them go. Now, of course, when you think of slavery and you think back in the South, what that meant, if you owned them or people gave their slaves to you to experiment on, they're not going to say, let me go. Maybe they did, but they most likely knew what their lot in life was at the time. I don't know. Bringing that up, basically, he wrote a lot of things. He did discover a lot of surgeries based on trial and error, as we have to do back then, but it was at the hands of Black women. And I think there's a lot of biases that still exist because these surgeries still exist that were created by him. Not saying he's at blame here, but I interviewed a woman. If you listen to my podcast, go back to an episode with the app Wolomi, Wolomi. And she was a founder of this app. And she, basically, what this does is she is a Black woman who was in the medical field. She was an RN. And she felt unsafe being pregnant and going into the hospital to have her baby. Yeah. And she knows a lot of shit. So for her to feel unsafe, I don't know the right questions to ask. Or if I ask the right questions, I feel like I'm not being heard. I don't think they're going to take care of me. The statistics are so overwhelming, right? I need help. I need to advocate for other women because they are at a less advantage than me because I at least have medical knowledge. Now, the influencer Joel Bevel, who I follow religiously, medical mythbuster, he started doing TikToks in his second year of medical school. And this was during the pandemic. And of course, if you remember the pandemic, it seems so long ago, but Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Armin Arbery, just to name a few, he started doing TikToks because he realized that as a Black man in the United States, he was 5%. He made up 5% in this country of men, or just African Americans, actually, that are going to be doctors. You don't know this about me, but I'll tell you right now, I narrate books. And one of the books that I just did, which will be out soon on Audible, Black Girls, White Coats. And the statistics is exactly the same. they make up less than that because 5% is countrywide, men and women. And then they make up a smaller percentage of that percentage. And the whole book is about encouraging women to stay the course, get a mentor, help each other, try. People are going to knock you down. I say all of this because even though this is a book about Black women helping Black women to stay in the medical field and to support each other and to push to higher heights, Joel Bevel, who is the medical mythbuster, started his TikTok. And one of the things that was crazy to me is the myths that he debunked, including pain, what things look like, and just other things for people of color. But he was the first Black medical student at his college or medical school, Washington State. Isn't that crazy? I can't imagine. He's the first Black medical student. Blew my mind. Anyway, so he's obviously doing some crazy stuff, and he brings up the biases on social media, and he has gotten so much feedback. And for me, I'm a regular civilian. I don't have the medical knowledge, but nurses and doctors and other folks within that field actually write in or will comment and say, I didn't know this. And they are, quote unquote, learned. But yeah, these biases exist, guys. These disparities exist. So I tell you all of this history because I want you to know that your life is important and you have to advocate for yourself. Now, we oftentimes, at least I am, are from families that have this, oh God, they're so ridiculous. Just keep doing what you're doing and you don't go to the hospital, you don't go to the doctor until you absolutely have to. Like basically you're on your deathbed or like you're not eating. Like those, that's the criteria. And I feel like people in my family, when they go to get things checked out, they're often expecting a miracle cure because they're so far gone or far off in whatever is wrong with them that it's the worst case scenario. This is not a real example, but I'm just going to say it's as if you have a leg that's about to be cut off, but it's not completely off. So it's okay because it's still working. But then when it's falling off too much, then you're like, hey, I guess I'll go get it stitched up. This is what it feels like to me sometimes. I believe in early detection. I've had lumps in my breasts since I was a teenager. I got it checked out and it was very lumpy. Not to get into my medical history too much, but I had to have surgery at 16 years old to take those lumps out. This was the doctor's diagnosis at times. Just take it out. You don't have to worry about it. You're young, blah, 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 blah. It was non-cancerous, of course, thankfully. But as I moved on in life, I've had some other problems and I get a mammogram every year. I get a sonogram twice a year. And I've been doing this all through my 20s, all through my 30s, and now into my 40s. And I really try hard to maintain my schedule because I know it's a scary thing, but I try to keep my positive self forward because if the thing about it being scared about it, if you don't do it, it's still going to be there. You just will have a bigger problem. The earlier you can detect, the better it is for you. I just think about the cancer statistic for breast cancer specifically. The 5-year survival rate for breast cancer is 90%. If you have early detection, if you do your regular screenings, if you know your body, it just makes a difference. You have to advocate for yourself. Don't feel stupid because if you feel stupid, that's okay. I'd rather you feel stupid than have something that's not curable and have a short lifespan because you didn't take care of something. And I tell this to my grandmother and to my aunts and everybody. In many cultures, the older generation believe that this is normal. I'm older. Like this is just going to happen. And it's true. But we have changed so much in this society that they can do so much more and they can do things that you don't even think about. I get frustrated with my grandmother when she goes to the doctor to get checkups or get things looked at because they're usually worst case scenario. And then she'll stay there or whatever they have to treat her with, feel a little bit better, come home, never take the pills, never do what the doctor says. And I'm like, how do you expect to get better? And I already feel better. But you went to this person to help you, and they did, and now you're not going to listen to anything that they're saying. So it frustrates me because I do believe in holistic medicine. I'm Caribbean. I'm of Indian descent, generations and generations, but there are medicines and rituals and practices that do work, whether you believe them or not in the Western culture, but they do work or they do help. The homeopathic way, the herbs and things like that, like they do help. Medicine is founded on that. But there's so many avenues and alternative things for women. One of my good friends hates her medical practice and she's been going there for years. And she was just like, they're not sympathetic. They don't listen to me. They don't care. And I've just always felt this way. It's just gotten worse as my problems have gotten more. And I feel like I need more empathy and more understanding. and I'm not getting it. So she found a private, you pay for the membership. They do take insurance. And she is trying that out because she feels like she wants to be heard. Like her concerns are valid. They think she's crazy. And here's the thing. So what? So what if they think she's crazy? She's the one that has to know her own body and figure it out. Yeah. So it's important to self-advocate, guys. It's just, I have to say, women of color often gets dismissed or feel dismissed. And in this particular scenario with healthcare and health professionals who know so much, who is so busy, we feel like we just have to take them at face value. Or if they're dismissing our concerns, okay, they don't seem concerned, but I am concerned, but I'm going to listen to them. No. Ask the detailed questions. Seriously, be prepared with your research. If they think you're crazy and they don't like you as a patient, who cares? Get the answers that you want. You make a decision for your body. Sometimes testing or further testing can save your life. I had somebody in my life, a contact of mine that's at my house pretty regularly, and they unfortunately had an incident and did not want to advocate for themselves, did not want to go to hospital, clearly had concussion, looked really bad, and I had to force them to. And I said, do not leave that hospital until you get a head CT scan. Because your hit looked really bad. You have lumps. It was bad, guys. It was bad. But this older belief that I'm walking, I'm alive, I'm good. Honey, I don't know if you remember Natasha Richardson, Liam Neeson's wife. Girl was skiing, hit her head, said she was fine, had a headache, passed away the next day. Internal head bleeding, head trauma. You don't know what's going on sometimes. If a simple test can help you and give you that peace of mind, take it. That peace of mind is everything, because when you have a head injury, guys, stuff can happen for a year plus. Trust me, I've had one. Now, so I know I'm going off on a tangent, but it's all about your body. It's all about knowing who you are. It's all about fighting your generational beliefs that's been passed on to you and advocating for yourself. And I think another thing to really consider, when I was growing up, I didn't grow up in the best of neighborhoods. My healthcare was the public healthcare that we have here. I didn't have insurance. I had the government insurance. I lived with my grandparents. We didn't have any money. So the healthcare facilities, what they could do were limited. There were, of course, community like dental stuff, and there were nonprofit stuff. There were students who were helping. In some instances, we had to use them. I did what I could. We did what we could. So the resources are different based on your socioeconomic barrier. But that doesn't mean you can't travel elsewhere. You can't try. You can't use those resources. So that's number one. And I also think something to think about is your mental health as well. I know it's not mental health month, but it matters. And I think oftentimes you can get in your own head and you're like, oh, I'm just getting a little crazy. It may not be something physical, but it's mental, and you dismiss it. This is something that needs to be talked about. This is something that we need to get over as a community of color. We need to realize that societal pressures, the stress that we're facing, the racial traumas, the microaggressions that we're facing, these are things that we need to have conversations about. These are conversations that need to be normalized. Seeking professional help within the community of color needs to be normalized. If you don't feel comfortable talking about it with your family, that's perfectly fine. You do whatever works for you. But seeking help from a licensed professional is nothing to be ashamed of. And if you need to keep that to yourself, keep it to yourself. But if you need to seek the help and you're not sure if it's going to help you, if you don't think it's going to help you, what is it going to help you? What does it hurt to try? That's my thing. What does it hurt to try? If it doesn't help, it doesn't help. But what if it did? Wouldn't you be grateful? I don't know. I think so. I have another friend, guys. I have so many friends, I guess, I'm talking about on this episode. But it is frustrating to me that she unfortunately was in a really bad place many times throughout her life for various reasons. And the couple times that she did see a mental health professional helped her slightly by giving her medication, which I think she absolutely needed. And it did help. But as soon as she started feeling better, she'd be like, oh, I'm better. I'm going to stop taking it. And it defeats the purpose. And I said, I think you need to talk through some of your deep-seated issues, which I do know about. And her thing is, why? That's already in the past. I don't need to bring up past things. Like, I've moved on. And my thing is, you can't have moved on if you get so upset about me even bringing it up right now. And if you figure out those things, it could help you now. And she can't understand how. Here's the crazy part about it. She doesn't want to because she doesn't think it could help. And my whole thing is, but maybe it could. What does it hurt for you to go and just have an hour of a conversation with someone every once in a while? Anyway, I think we need to get over that. I think we need to normalize that this is a thing. I think we've come a long way from when I was younger to now. I think people take mental health days now and it's a little bit more accepted. We have a mental health month, which is May. So the conversations are getting better. It is being recognized a little bit more. And I hope it continues to push in that direction. I genuinely believe if you surround yourself with people who normalize that, if you have a community where you have shared experiences, I think that could be really therapeutic. I think that could be really helpful to feel like it's a thing that we focus on, especially as a person of color, knowing other people of color and knowing the stigma that follows them around with it, adding yet another thing into it. But yeah, I truly believe in that. I also think if you become better, your future children will be better. You're encouraging the future generation to break this cycle of misinformation, to advocate for themselves as a person of color or a person who's discriminated against, to have meaningful discussions about your family health history, conversations about their bodies to know what's normal, what's not normal. These should be basic things, guys, but it's not basic things. I never had that period talk with my family. I had my friend's nanny talk to me about that. Isn't that crazy? But that open dialogue at a young age really helped me to understand things. And I did not get that. And I'm telling you right now, if you're listening to this and you have young ones at home, try to be the change for them because you're doing everything you can to take care of them. So you want them to also take care of themselves, right? Anyway, I know I went on a little tangent here and I started off with the cancer and I ended up with the mental health, but I think it all goes into taking care of yourself. And yeah, guys, oof, I don't want to get into so many details, but if I can tell you, I had this conversation recently and I was like, what grandpa died of? What did he die of? And so my mom was like, yeah, cancer, colon cancer, I think. I'm like, you think, because that's important. Oh, it's something in his stomach. I don't know. We're not really sure. He didn't really tell anybody. And that was literally the conversation. Now, as if you go to the doctor, you have to say who has cancer, who has this, whatever, in your family so you can get screened. And with because of the health insurance situation, if you have someone in your family, direct immediate family that had colon cancer, you have to get screened earlier as a person of color. So I was trying to find that out and I could not even get the dates, get anything because nobody knew because he never talked about it and he didn't want to talk about it. And so therefore, I have no idea. So anyway, yeah, guys, be the change. Advocate for yourself. Know that the disparities are there. Know that there's medical racial bias. Know that there are people online like Joel, the medical mythbuster. Look him up. I literally look at his content and I consume so much of it. Amazing. And there's other people like that that are trying to demystify that whole situation so you can feel more empowered to go in and ask the questions that you know you should be asking. So yeah, that's my rant for today, guys. Thank you for listening to Woke and Pretty. This is Mira Harden. And guys, follow me at Mira Harden. Follow me on Instagram, TikTok. Write me an email. I'd love to hear from you. Please rate this podcast 5 stars if you can do it. If you're on Apple, I would love to see your review or any of your favorite platforms. I'll see you next time.